Well, a warm welcome to St. Andrew's today. It really is warm, isn't it, today? But I hope you won't find it too uncomfortable in your masks in here. Obviously, if you're watching online, at home, or wherever, then you won't need your masks, and that will make life a bit easier for you. But you're welcome wherever you're viewing or taking part in this service today. A warm welcome. Just to say that next week at this time, this service on Thursday is going to be moved to an hour earlier. So the service next week, from next week onwards, will be starting at 11 o'clock and not 12 o'clock. So 11 o'clock next week, and please make sure that people know who regularly come at this slot. Just to introduce myself at the start, for anybody who doesn't yet know me, my name is the Reverend Helen Wilkinson, and I'm one of the retired clergy here at St. Andrew's and All Saints, and I'm leading the service today, and Heather Williamson, one of our lay ministers, will be preaching for us later in the final one of our series in the Promises of God. And today we are going to be looking at the promise of a new heaven and a new earth, a new age dawning at the end of time as we know it. And we'll hear more about that later. So as we meet together this morning, shall we pray at the start of our service? Faithful God, whose word is life, come with your saving power to free our praise, inspire our prayer, and shape our lives for the kingdom of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our opening hymn this morning is Crown Him with Many Crowns, reminding us that Christ is risen on high. He is seated at the right hand of the majesty of God. And this recording from the Big Sing in the Royal Albert Hall reminds us that one day we will sing God's praises in a far bigger forum, celebrating with the Christian Church worldwide. I know that for those of us in this building this morning, we still can't sing out loud, but in your head or just to mouth to yourselves, we're going to remind ourselves of the words of this amazing old hymn. And of course, God looks on the heart, not on what's going on the outside, but what's going on the inside in terms of how we worship him. So while anyone listening at home can sing more boldly, we in this building here this morning will rise to sing, or to, in our minds, crown him with many crowns.
Thank you.
Thy praise shall never, never fail throughout eternity. You like to take a seat as we marvel this morning at God's greatness. We are struck afresh by our own weakness and imperfections. The scripture tells us that if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And so, as we confess our sins together, I will say the words in the gold writing and we'll all respond with the words in white. Jesus Christ, risen Master and triumphant Lord, we come to you in sorrow for our sins and confess to you our weakness and unbelief. We have lived by our own strength and not by the power of your resurrection. In your mercy, forgive us. Lord, hear us and help us. We have lived by the light of our own eyes, as faithless and not believing. In your mercy, forgive us. Lord, hear us and help us. Together, we have lived for this world alone and doubted our home in heaven. In your mercy, forgive us. Lord, hear us and help us. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life everlasting. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Collect, the Church's special prayer for today, the first Sunday after Trinity. O God, the strength of all those who put their trust in you, mercifully accept our prayers, and because through the weakness of our mortal nature we can do no good thing without you, grant us the help of your grace, that in the keeping of your commandments we may please you both in will and deed, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And now Sean is going to bring us today's Bible reading.
The reading is from Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 to 7. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you so much, Sean. And now Heather has our sermon today. And as she comes up, I'm just going to pray for her as she does this. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for Heather. Thank you for her gifts, for her heart, for you and for your people. And we pray that this morning you will take her words and that they will come alive to each one of us who is listening, that we may know you more deeply and love you more dearly. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Heather. Good morning. And again, as Helen said, it's good to know that though we are not very many here, we're joined, or will be joined, by others who'll be watching on Sunday, and we're one in the Spirit, and these words, which I believe that God has given me to share, are for us here today and for whoever else will be listening, and so I pray God's blessing on them. Today we reach the end of our series on promises of God. And this takes us to the thrilling climax of the Bible story of God's purposes of redemption and renewal for his world and for us in our own Christian journey. The book of Revelation is not for the faint-hearted, but my excellent guide, as I've reread it, has been Tom Wright in his book Revelation for Everyone. And if anybody would like to borrow it, I have it here and I'd be very happy to lend it. As British holidaymakers in this glorious spell of half-term weather, you may have been sad to hear that there'll be no more sea in this perfect heaven on earth that we heard about in our reading. Well, more of that later. We're actually probably most familiar with today's reading about a place where there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, because it's often read at funeral services. The other passage often read is from John chapter 14, where Jesus says, "Do not be worried and upset. Believe in God and believe also in me. There are many rooms in my Father's house, and I'm going to prepare a place for you. I would not tell you this if it were not so. And after I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to myself, so that you will be where I am. You know the way that leads to the place where I'm going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way to get there?" Jesus answered him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father except by me." Members of our own church have recently lost beloved grandchildren in a terrible road accident, and in the face of this awful tragedy, have been comforted with the knowledge that those lovely children are safely at home in heaven with Jesus. This is the living hope which takes the sting out of death for followers of Jesus. And in the face of death, we comfort one another with these words. There are a number of places in the New Testament which talk about going to be with Christ. And on the cross, Jesus said to the repentant thief hanging beside him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." However, today's reading is not really about believers going to a better place. It's much more radical than that. It envisions something completely new. The better place coming to us and renewing the beautiful world we live in. It comes, of course, from the closing chapters of the last book in the Bible. And what it describes isn't happening up there in heaven, but down here in a new heaven and earth where God comes down to dwell among his people. It completes the overarching story of God's relationship with people and the world he created for them to live in, which started in the perfect Garden of Eden, pictured at the very beginning of the Bible. The whole Bible is the story of how it got spoiled and how Jesus came to redeem it. And here in today's reading, which follows after the account of the final destruction of the devil and all his evil ways, here we have the revelation of God's final solution. We're now going to watch a Bible Society video, which I think explains this brilliantly.
So in the Bible, the ideas of heaven and earth are ways of talking about God's space and our space.
So I understand our space really well. We live here. There's trees, rivers, mountains. But my understanding of God's space gets a little fuzzy.
And what we do get in the Bible are images trying to help us grasp God's space, which is basically inconceivable to us.
So these are two very different types of spaces.
Yes, they're different in their nature, but here's what's really interesting, is that in the Bible, these are not always separate spaces. So think of heaven and earth as like different dimensions that can overlap in the same exact space.
So we talk a lot about going to heaven after we die, but this idea of heaven and earth overlapping, we don't talk a lot about that.
Which is kind of crazy, because the union of heaven and earth is what the story of the Bible is all about. How they were once fully united and then driven apart, and about how God is bringing them back together once again.
So let's go back to the beginning, where heaven and earth, they're completely overlapping.
Yeah, this is what the Bible's description of the Garden of Eden is all about. It's a place where God and humanity dwelt together perfectly, no separation, and humans then partner with God in building a flourishing, beautiful world and so on.
But as humans, we wanted to do things a different way. We wanted God out, and we wanted to create a world apart from him.
Yeah, so we have these two spaces now. And the Bible actually uses lots of different kinds of words and phrases to refer to these two spaces to make a clear distinction.
So you said that these spaces can overlap, though. So explain how that works.
Yeah, this is where we have to start talking about temples. Because in the biblical world, you experience God's presence by going to a temple. That's where heaven and earth overlap.
Now, there are two types of temples described in the Bible. One is a tabernacle, basically a tent that was built by Moses. And the other was this massive building made by Solomon.
And these temples were decorated with fruit trees and flowers and images of angels and all kinds of gold and jewels and so on. And these are designed to make you feel like you're going back to the garden. And at the center of the temple was a place called the Holy of Holies, which was like the hot spot of God's presence.
Now we can go and be with God again.
But not so fast, because the temple also creates a problem. So God's space is full of his presence and goodness and justice and beauty, but human space is full of sin and injustice and the ugliness that results.
So how do these spaces overlap if they're so different and they're in conflict with each other?
This was resolved through animal sacrifice.
Yeah, that's kind of weird. What do animal sacrifices have to do with this?
Yeah, the idea is this. Animal sacrifices, somehow they absorb the sin when the animal dies in your place. And it creates a clean space, so to speak, where you are now free to enter into the temple and be in God's presence.
Okay, so if I'm an Israelite and I live in Jerusalem, I might be able to be in God's presence. But you said the story of the Bible is all of heaven and earth reuniting.
Right. So we have to keep going in the story where we come to Jesus in the New Testament. And in the Gospel of John, we hear this claim that God became human in Jesus and made his dwelling among us. Now, this word dwelling is really curious. It means he set up a tabernacle among us. And so what John is claiming right here is that Jesus is a temple. He is now the place where heaven and earth overlap.
What's interesting about Jesus is that he isn't staying in this safe, clean space. He's running around, hanging out with sinners. He's healing people of their sicknesses and forgiving people of their sins.
He's basically creating little pockets of heaven where people can be in God's presence, but he's doing it out there in the middle of the world of sin and death.
And he keeps telling everyone that the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
And he even told his followers to pray regularly that God's kingdom come and that his will be done here on earth just as it is in heaven.
But a lot of people are threatened by Jesus and they kill him, which seems to spoil this whole plan to reunite heaven and earth.
But we have to go back to a scene earlier on in Jesus' story where John the Baptist saw Jesus and said, "Behold, this is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world."
So Jesus isn't just talked about as being a temple. He's also talked about as being the temple sacrifice.
Yeah, so the cross is now the place where Jesus absorbs sin to create a clean space that is not limited like animal sacrifices. Jesus' sacrifice has the power to keep spreading and reuniting more and more of heaven and earth.
And this is all really great, but it leaves one big question in my mind, which is, what happens when I die? Don't I just fly over to God's space to be with Jesus?
Yeah, so a few times in the New Testament, we learn that Christians will be with Jesus in heaven after they die, but that is not the focus of the Bible story. The focus is on how heaven and earth are being reunited through Jesus and will be completely brought together one day when he returns. So in the book of Revelation, we get this beautiful image of the Garden of Eden, now in the form of a city, coming to end the age of sin and death by redeeming all of human history in a renewed creation. And God's space and human space completely overlap once again.
Well, I've watched that video several times, and I hope that you find it really brilliant as I do. And you'll be able to watch it again as well, because the link will be included in the study notes for life groups in this week's mailing. So what does it mean when God says, "I am making all things new"? Within the context of the preceding chapters of Revelation, it means that the devil and all the evils of our present world, which come from our sinfulness and his temptation and desire to spoil God's work, all these things in terms of war, domination, oppression, abuse, dishonesty, fraud, immorality, slavery, unfaithfulness, prostitution, destruction, and climate abuse have finally and permanently been destroyed. God's reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords is absolute, and the conquest and abolition of sin and death has been achieved, not through war, but through the blood of the Lamb, the death of Jesus on the cross. It's the renewal of all things. And within that new heaven and new earth, there is perfect healing, restoration and love as God's people find themselves beyond the reach of tears, pain and death forever. God, the one who is seated on the throne, says, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega," which is the Greek equivalent of the A and the Z in our alphabet, "the beginning and the end." The perfect harmony between God and his people, which we read about in the Paradise Garden of Eden in Genesis chapter 2, has been restored forever. And because no evil can enter this new world, it won't all go wrong again. We are right in this world of 2021 to take our responsibilities towards the earth seriously and play an active part in attempts to reverse the damage done to God's good creation. Because God loves the world he made, not just the people in it. Psalm 36, verses 5 to 7 says, "Your love, Lord, reaches to the heavens, your faithfulness to the skies. Your righteousness is like the highest mountains, your justice like the great deep. You, Lord, preserve both people and animals. How priceless is your unfailing love, O God. People take refuge in the shadow of your wings. But as St. Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, verses 20 to 22, the whole creation is groaning in pain, longing to be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. And that liberation is a vital part of the picture of a new heaven and a new earth. As we begin now to look at some of the details of this passage, we come up against the vivid and often bewildering imagery of John's visions. The confusing concept of a holy city, which is also a bride in her wedding dress, is an example of a highly pictorial, symbolic, and complicated imagery of this book. But if we take these two images separately, they would have resonated with significance for the original readers and will do for those familiar with the Bible today. The holy city with its temple was the place where people met with God, as we saw in the video. In the Old Testament, God's chosen people, the Jews, are described as the bride of Yahweh, and their unfaithfulness is lamented by various prophets, notably Isaiah and Hosea. In the New Testament, Paul describes the church as the bride of Christ. So this is part of the vision of this new heaven and earth, where God and ransomed humanity will be united in perfect love and harmony. I mentioned that British holidaymakers might be sad to hear there'll be no more sea in this perfect heaven on earth. But again, it's necessary to recognise the symbolic meaning of this detail. Throughout this book, as in much of the Bible, the sea represents the dark forces of chaos which threaten God's plans and God's people. The sea represents estrangement, separation, danger, and from it come evil monsters which have no place in this new world. The most wonderful words of this passage are spoken by the loud voice from the throne. Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will wipe every tear from their eyes. We saw in the video how in the Old Testament, the tabernacle, or later the temple, was the place where people could meet with God. And we heard how in John's Gospel, chapter 1, it says that Jesus took on human flesh and made his dwelling, he tabernacled among us, ministering love and forgiveness and healing. And as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, he died on the cross so that our relationship with God could be restored. Now this same verb, tabernacling, is used for God dwelling with his people, this time forever, with no sin to get in the way, because of Jesus, the Lamb who was slain, who has won the victory. What tender love is expressed in the picture of God himself wiping away all tears, and how wonderful for him to come down and dwell among us. When and how will this happen? We do not know. But because God, whose words are trustworthy and true, has granted this vision to John and told him to write it down, we are asked to take it on trust as the consummation towards which history is moving. And meanwhile, we are living in the overlap. We're somewhere in the time between the victory over sin and death won by Jesus on the cross and the utter transformation of heaven and earth by God abolishing the horrible, disgusting, and tragic effects of human sin. Do you remember how in the video it described Adam and Eve partnering with God in building a flourishing, beautiful world? And how in the part about Jesus dwelling among us, it said he was running around, hanging out with sinners, healing people of their sicknesses and forgiving their sins, and creating little pockets of heaven where people could be in God's presence. That is how we are called to live now. We're called to help usher in aspects of this final kingdom of God in our world, our community, our homes today. Let's take a look at our church logo and vision statement. So, we say that we are partnering with God in the flourishing of our communities. Just as Adam and Eve partnered with God in the flourishing of that perfect world, we see our calling as partnering with God in the flourishing of our communities. And how do we do this? Well, for our own spiritual growth, we seek to encounter Jesus in worship, prayer, word, and spirit. And for ourselves and those that we invite to join us, we seek to grow whole life, long life disciples of Jesus. And then this third of our aims is to see lives transformed and communities flourish as we demonstrate and proclaim God's kingdom. So next time you go to one of our local shops, or you pass other dog walkers on the common, or you're waiting at a checkout, or on your mobile phone, WhatsApping a friend, walking on the hills, 24/7, whatever you're doing, whatever we're doing, we are seeking to be partnering with God by the way we live, by what we say when we have the opportunity, just by our love, our care, and our attitude, our hopefulness, our sense of a vision for the future, which so many people lack. In all these ways, we're partnering with God to bring in his kingdom. Every time we say the Lord's Prayer, we're pledging our commitment to help God's kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And if you've been praying, "Thy kingdom come," during the days between Easter and Pentecost, this is what you've been praying for. Do you remember how the video portrayed heaven and earth as different dimensions which can overlap? When we respond to God's call on our lives and become followers of Jesus, we enter the kingdom of heaven while still living here on earth. In the language of Revelation, our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and we have the sure and certain hope of a future with God in his perfect world. Our reading ended with the invitation to anyone who is thirsty to come and drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. And if you read on into chapter 22, you will find the river of life flowing through the streets of the holy city, that same river we learnt about a few weeks ago from Ezekiel's prophecy. But to be part of this glorious world, we need to have drunk of the water of life. In John's Gospel, chapter 4, Jesus told the Samaritan woman at the well that whoever believes in him will experience an inner well of water springing up into eternal life. As we heard earlier, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. You must come to the Father through me." So, don't turn a deaf ear to that invitation. Respond, come, drink from the water of life. I want to end with a beautiful poem called "The Kingdom" by R.S. Thomas. It evokes the world of new life, love, and healing we've been thinking about, and invites us to enter by faith. And after I've read it, I'd like us to spend some time quietly reflecting and responding according to what we've heard God say to us personally this morning. The kingdom. It's a long way off, but inside it, there are quite different things going on. Festivals at which the poor man is king and the consumptive is healed. Mirrors in which the blind look at themselves and love looks at them back. And industry is for mending the bent bones and the minds fractured by life. It's a long way off, but to get there takes no time, and admission is free if you purge yourself of desire and present yourself with your need only and the simple offering of your faith, green as a leaf.
Thank you so much, Heather. And now, as we seek to be part of God's kingdom coming here, we're going to pray together. We're going to begin by praying for the church worldwide, especially for those who are forgotten, for the persecuted church, for those who struggle with poverty and disease, for those who are trapped in war zones, Lord, we ask that you will bring your strength, your healing and your peace to those who seek to live for you in difficult places. May your light shine ever more brightly in the darkness, for Jesus' sake. And we pray for world leaders in the run-up to the G7 summit in Cornwall. Lord, you rule the whole earth, and the hearts of sovereigns are under your control. We ask that all governments will rule with wisdom, patience, and courage. Grant a spirit of generosity amongst those who are wealthy, so that help and support may come to those who are most in need. This Saturday, the 5th of June, is World Environment Day. The theme for this year is Reimagine, Recreate and Restore, which is exactly what we as kingdom people are praying for. Lord, You created all things and love your world. We pray that world rulers will give a lead in helping us to make the sacrifices that are necessary if this planet is to flourish as you intended. We ask that there will indeed be restoration in places that are damaged, and that all of us might care enough to make those small daily sacrifices that are necessary for the flourishing of all. In Jesus' name we pray. We pray for the local community, local hospitals and care homes, and all those involved in combating not only COVID-19, but also the backlog of clinical work that has accumulated. Give strength, we pray, to all who are involved in the health service. Give wisdom to the police and other public services. Help them to know how best to deploy their resources. And with that in mind, we pray especially today for those involved in education, for all who teach, all who learn, for support staff and school governors as they make difficult decisions to enable the next generation to recover from the effects of the pandemic. And finally, we pray for those who suffer. May your peace and hope surround all those who at this time are bereaved, those who are ill, those who are grieving, whether at home or in hospital, and for all those who care for the sick. May those who have lingering effects from COVID know that they are not forgotten. Form us all into a caring and compassionate society with a godly desire to protect the weak, that we might be prophetic signs of the day in which there will be no illness or sickness or death. And we ask all these things in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is interceding for us now at God's right hand. Amen. Can I invite you to stand? We are the body of Christ. In the one Spirit, we were all baptized into the one body. Let us then pursue all that makes for peace and builds up our common life. The peace of the Lord be with you, and also with you. Let us offer one another a sign of God's peace. If you'd like to take a seat. The Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give thanks and praise. Blessed are you, Lord God, our light and our salvation. To you be glory and praise forever. From the beginning, you have created all things, and all your works echo the silent music of your praise. In the fullness of time, you made us in your image, the crown of all creation. You gave us breath and strength, that with angels and archangels and with all the powers of heaven, we may find a voice to sing your praise. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. How wonderful the work of your hands, O Lord. As a mother tenderly gathers her children, you embraced us as your people. When they turned away and rebelled, your love remained steadfast. From then you raised up Jesus, our Saviour, born of Mary to be the living bread, in whom all our hungers are satisfied. He offered his life for sinners, and with a love stronger than death, opened wide his arms on the cross. On the night before he died, he came to supper with his friends, and taking bread, he gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." At the end of supper, taking the cup of wine, he gave you thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Christ is the bread of life. When we eat this bread and drink this cup, we bring life on death, Lord Jesus, until you come in glory. Father, we plead with confidence his sacrifice made once for all upon the cross. We remember his dying and rising in glory, and we rejoice that he intercedes for us at the right hand of God. Pour out your Holy Spirit, that as we bring before you these gifts of your creation, may they be for us the body and blood of your dear Son. As we eat and drink these holy things in your presence, form us in the likeness of Christ, and build us into a living temple to your glory. Bring us at the last with all the saints to the vision of that eternal splendor for which you have created us, through Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom, with whom, and in whom, with all who stand before you in earth and heaven, we worship you, Father Almighty, in songs of everlasting praise. Blessing and honor and glory and power be yours forever and ever. Amen. As our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today your daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Every time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave to you, for you, and his blood which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. This morning, Heather and I are going to bring the elements to you in your seats. And somebody last week said to me, just summed this up for me really well. They said, if I sit in my seat and wait to receive rather than coming up, it reminds me that Jesus has done everything for me. I don't have to do anything. I just need to receive. So we will receive this morning as we bring around the bread and wine for you in your seats. Thank you. Together we pray. Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son. Out at home, dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace, and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name. Amen. Eternal Father, we thank you for nourishing us with these heavenly gifts. May our communion strengthen us in faith, build us up in hope, and make us grow in love, ready for that time when we meet you face to face, for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In communion, it's okay. I'm not used to pausing this. I think we're okay. We have a song now that reminds us of this heavenly place, this place where heaven and earth will finally touch one another and coincide forever. And it's a beautiful picture from the words here. So if you're able to stand with me and celebrate this final destination, maybe those of us who are in person can simply tap our foot and look at the words, or else maybe if you're at home, you'd like to sing along.
There's a place where the streets shine with the glory of the Lamb. There's a way we can go there, we can live there beyond time. Because of you, because of you, because of your love, because of your blood. No more pain, no more sadness, no more suffering, no more tears, no more sin, no more sickness, no injustice, no more death. Because of you, because of you, because of your love, because of your blood. All our sins are washed away, yes, Lord, and we can live forever. Now we have this hope because of you. Well, we'll see you face to face, and we will dance together in the city of our God because of you. Joy everlasting, there'll be gladness, there'll be peace, there'll be wine ever flowing. There's a wedding, there's a feast because of you, because of you, because of your love, because of your blood. All our sins are washed away, everyone, if we can live forever. Now we have this hope because of you. Well, we'll see you face to face, and we will dance together in the city of our God because of you. Yes, Lord. Because of you, because of you, because of your love, because of your blood. Oh. our sins are washed away.
Thank you, Lord.
We can live forever. Now we have this hope because of you. We'll see you face to face. We will dance together in the city of our love because of you.
And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of, in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you always. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen. Thank you very much for coming to this service today. Can I encourage you to move outside to chat, where we'll be able to take off our masks and outside on the grass and be able to really chat to one another. So it's lovely to see you today. Thank you.